It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. My next guest is New York Times bestselling novelist who's worked to bring many stories to life, especially those of her homeland. Chilean-American writer Isabel Allende has a new book called In the Midst of Winter. She speaks tonight at the Atlanta History Center. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
I actually, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with a comment that Barack Obama made about your writing back in 2014. This is when he was awarding you the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And this is just a clip from his remarks at the ceremony.
When Isabel Allende learned that her grandfather in Chile was dying, she started writing him a letter. Night after night, she returned to it until she realized she was actually writing her first novel. She never really stopped. Her novels and memoirs tell of families, magic, romance, oppression, violence, redemption, all the big stuff. But in her hands, the big became graspable and familiar and human.
And I, the reason I wanted to start with that was because of that last thing he said, because this new novel to me is a perfect example of that. You've taken on some incredibly big topics, but you're telling them through a very small story. And I wonder why you chose the vehicle of what is essentially a murder mystery.
Well, the murder in the book is just an excuse to bring the characters together. It's a story of three unlikely characters that are brought together by a blizzard in New York last year in January. And the event that brings them together is a minor traffic accident that ends up being a murder story. But I didn't want the reader to think that they were reading a mystery novel. So the body really appears around page 100. By then, I hope that my readers will be familiar with the stories of each one of these three characters, and they will not be expecting a murder.
Yeah, and it's not a typical whodunit. There's no detective searching down clues, although we do not find out the real perpetrator until the end. But there's also this theme of the protections that we use. In other words, the three characters at the center of your novel have all been hurt in the past and have good reason to throw up walls and barriers, and that's what they seem to have done. How do you go about writing a character and making them lovable when they themselves are sort of protecting themselves from love in some ways?
Well, these three characters have been traumatized in the past, and they cope with their memories and with the trauma in different ways. The male character, Richard Beaumaster, is a man that has closed down, and his life is totally safe, and nothing can happen because he won't take any risks. He doesn't connect with anybody. He's very lonely. The character of the undocumented Guatemalan immigrant, the girl...
Evelyn, yeah.
Evelyn, she's... She's silent, mute, invisible. She lives in hiding. And then the character of Lucia, the Chilean writer who ends up lecturing in NYU for a year, so she's visiting. She has had very hard times too. But she's more feisty and she's a more open person. But she feels very lonely. The three characters are living in a sort of long emotional winter.
An emotional winter, but... You know, you're also talking, as the quote goes, about finding their own summer, and they find it in each other that they begin to establish those emotional connections. Is there a deeper reason for that? And I bring that up because, you know, the United States at this point is having trouble connecting with itself, right?
People, because we don't listen to each other's stories. We think in numbers. We think in polls. We think in abstract. And the whole point of these three characters changing is because they sit down and they share their stories. And then when they know more about each other, Lucia and Richard are willing to take a huge risk to help Evelyn. And Evelyn finds, for the first time in a long time, she finds help and she finds solidarity, compassion, even humor. So the three of them in those 3 days of their adventure, they sort of find the invincible summer that we all have inside by sharing their own stories.
Do you find, have you seen examples of this occurring in real life? Because,
of course.
As a journalist, I'm pretty cynical about this. I see people yelling at each other and hating each other.
In modern America, we tend to be very polarized and separated. And we will not talk to people who don't think like us on both sides until we get to listen to the stories. You know, there's, for example, a theater company that works with people from Palestine and from Israel. And they, by working together, they listen to each other's stories and they begin to understand each other. If they can do it, we can too.
So tell me a little bit more about where this story comes from, do you think, in the context of your writing history? Because you're an incredibly successful novelist. Your books have been read by millions of people. Is this story the story of sort of your maturity as an author?
No, it's just a story that was in the air. I started writing this book on January 8th of last year, when Trump wasn't even a candidate. He wasn't in the picture until May. And so the story of immigration, of loneliness, of separation was already in the air. And I picked up what was there. And by the time the country became so divided after the election, the book was done. I think it was very timely, just by coincidence.
Well, since you've mentioned it, the Evelyn Ortega is the immigrant, undocumented immigrant from Guatemala, who's sort of is the catalyst for all that happens in some ways. And you brought up, you talked about the issue of immigration in your book, The House of Spirits, which was adapted into a 1993 film. And so let's hear a little clip of the film. Here we hear Antonio Banderas. He's trying to rally a group of workers, and then he's cut off by Esteban.
Jesus Christ was a revolutionary himself. We have a right to demand wages for our work. Revolutionary. Yes, God. We have a right to rest on Sundays. We have a right to vote. We have a right to...
Enough. Go back to work.
How do you, as a novelist, approach immigration, knowing that a good number of your readers are going to already have a formed opinion on that issue?
That's for me, the purpose of my writing is to bring people together. I have a foundation, and my foundation works with women and children in different areas. But in the last 3 years, we've been focusing a lot on refugees and immigrants, illegal immigrants, as they call them, although no one should be illegal in this planet. We all have the right to live here. So I know cases like the case of Evelyn Ortega very closely. I didn't have to make that up, unfortunately. I only had to research a bit about the gangs and about the political situation in Guatemala. But the rest, I had it. It's here. And when you start listening to the stories, it's very hard to close your heart. People who have an opinion about immigrants have never met one. Or if they have, they have never talked to one. They see it in terms of numbers, in abstract. And of course, if you think 11 million people that will be deported, that might make sense to some people until they hear the stories. No one leaves their country. Everything that is familiar to them, their home, their family, their language, and go to another place where they will be received with hostility, unless you are desperate. There were no Syrian refugees in Europe a few years ago. It's the situation in Syria that forced these people to get out and try to find a home somewhere else. So because I have been a political refugee and an immigrant, I know how it is and what it takes.
I'm speaking to New York Times bestselling author Isabel Allende. Her latest book is In the Midst of Winter. She speaks tonight at the Atlanta History Center. What is your writing routine? Do you write every day?
Not every day, because I don't have a book in process always. I usually start my books, I always start my books on January 8th. And then I don't finish it in a year. Usually it takes around 18 months. And then the rest of the time I have to be correcting, do the book tour, promotion, and researching for the next book. I have written 23 books in 35 years. So that's more or less 18 months per book.
What is the significance of January 8th?
Discipline. I needed it to start because I really do, Celeste, because my life is complicated.
Yeah.
I need to carve time, silence, solitude so that I can write. And if I don't have a day to start, which everybody respects by now, I wouldn't be able to do it.
So are you one of the authors that hates book tours or enjoys them?
I hate the traveling, and I love being with my readers. Because the people who come to an event, they have read me, and that's why they're coming. So it's a very welcoming audience. Never in a book tour, in any event, have I met anybody who has been hostile or aggressive to me, ever. So I know it's a very selected audience and a captive audience, but still, it's very rewarding. I get a lot of energy and love, and that's wonderful.
How do you choose what to read in each different
place? I don't read. I just talk. Usually I'm in conversation with a journalist or another writer or someone. And then we open it to the audience, and the audience asks questions. So every event is different depending on the questions, which makes it much more interesting for me also.
But are there some questions you don't want to answer? Do you
no,
not?
There are no forbidden questions.
Even about personal life?
No, even about personal life. I can talk about everything. People ask me, you know, I'm 75 years old, and now after divorcing my husband, we've been married for 28 years. I was alone for a while, and then I found another love at 75. So people keep asking me all kinds of indiscreet questions about falling in love at 75. I have no problem. Celeste, I have no problem talking about it.
Although
he might have problems, but not me.
But it must have given you some kind of realistic details, because that's what happens kind of with Lucia and Richard in your I think they're in their 60s.
I didn't meet him when I was writing this book. It was
what, really?
Yeah. I didn't know him when I was writing the book.
That is incredible.
And what is more incredible is that he was living like Richard. A very close, he's a widower, and after his beloved wife died, he just closed down. And he lived a life of routine, a very safe life in which nothing happened, good or bad. He was totally safe and totally asleep in life.
So you were writing your own love story.
Before it happened. It's very strange.
That is incredible.
Yeah, my mother says that I sort of invoked him.
you wrote him into being.
Exactly.
which kind of takes me back to some of your books do deal with sort of magical things that are beyond full explanation, the kind of intangibles you can't entirely explain. This one doesn't. This one is mostly grounded in reality. How come?
It is. The only element that could be considered a little magical is when Evelyn Ortega is taken by her grandmother to see a curandera, a shaman. And the curandera gives her to drink a tea, and the tea is ayahuasca. And so she has hallucinations. And the hallucinations seem magical because she has visions of the totemic animals. She has visions of the future and the past. But that happens with that drug. I have taken it a couple of times. Once I took it because I was going to write a book placed in the Amazon, and this is the drug of the Amazon. So I was there and I took the drug. And really, it's an incredibly powerful trip that you never forget. So that happens to Evelyn, and that sort of explains what she believes, her beliefs.
So how do you know when an idea is strong enough to become a novel?
When it feels in my womb, it feels in the belly, like a calling, I think about it. It becomes not exactly an obsession, but a recurrent thought, a recurrent dream. Then I know that something is happening inside me. Because people give me wonderful stories. I get letters all the time from readers that say, this is my story, but I can't write it. Can you tell it for me? I can't. Because the story needs to be connected to something that is important for me. I write about what I care for. And I choose the characters because they are going to speak for me. For example, I have only written one crime novel, but I don't write thrillers or romance novels or those novels that are a formula, a genre that doesn't require you to be personally involved. All my stories have to do with something that I care for.
Although this novel is both a crime drama and a romance. It's just not told that way.
Yeah, but it's a novel of characters and personal stories.
So
the romance or the crime are not essential in the novel. It just brings people together.
So at this point in the year, as of November, this is when you're doing book tour-y stuff, which means you're probably going to start another book in a couple months.
I know. I'm panicking. Can you imagine? I start on January 8th. January 7th is a terrible day for me.
Do you already know what you're going to be writing about?
I sort of know. I have a vague idea, and I've been researching for months, a time and a place. And that gives me enough material for the first breath of the novel. When I start the first few weeks, when I don't have a story, I don't have the characters, but I sort of have an idea of where it's going to happen and when.
Well, it's kind of cool that on January 8th, I'm gonna look up at some point and say, Isabel Allende has started
energy,
a novel.
Yeah, send me energy and angels to help me.
New York Times bestselling author Isabel Allende, her latest book is In the Midst of Winter. It is a beautiful novel. She speaks tonight at 7 o'clock at the Atlanta History Center. Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Celeste.
And that's it for today's show, but we'd love to hear from you. What are you reading right now? If you have any good reading recommendations, book recommendations, we want to hear them, especially if they are good as gifts. Call and tell us at 404-500-9457 or find us on Twitter. It's at OST Talk. For today, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great day.